Hi, and welcome to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. We meet every Saturday at 11 a.m. at 584 Franklin Road in Franklin, Tennessee. You can find out more information on our website at coldod.org or watch us live on our Facebook or YouTube by simply searching for Cold OD Nashville. And now, here's Rabbi Ken's latest message.
The verses I read earlier, if you weren't here earlier, but you know, my heart is overwhelmed. It seems you can get overwhelmed with everything. Psalm 61, when it says, when my heart is overwhelmed, literally means my heart is enveloped, it's exhausted. He says, lead me to a rock that's higher than I. Lead me to a rock, and it means elevated. The rock that's higher, it's elevated than I, and satisfy me, lead me, satisfy me. The simplicity. Yeshua said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One day at a time. That's really, you know, and really, I don't know. I don't know about you, but this verse helps me too. I thought of Psalm 94:19 again. When my troubling thoughts multiply within me, your comforts, your consolations delight my soul. Here's another one. Psalm 142, verse 4. When my spirit is overwhelmed within me, you know my path. You know my path. Everything, you know, cast all your cares, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Casting all your anxieties, because he cares. Two different words in the Greek there. Casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares. He cares for you. And so he's the only safe place, the only place. But, you know, we long for that simplicity, that place where everything is, and he is our, as Ali just mentioned, our present help in our trouble. You know, I think it's Psalm 46, our present help in times of trouble. Praise God. So Father, we just pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word in Yeshua's name today. Gale naiva avitani flaot me toratecha. We pray, open our eyes and help us to drink from your fountain, B'Shem Yeshua. Speak to us. Lord, challenge us, move us, correct. Whatever we need, Lord, do it in our hearts and our minds, we pray, for your sake. Amen. As Moses specifies, we're in Exodus 35 and 36. As Moses specifies the materials to be used in the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, Exodus 35 and 36, that's where we are. The word heart, lev, let's say lev for heart. Lev, that's the heart. The core is found 14 times. Did you know that? 14 times, and referring to donors, builders, and artisans. The word terumah, let's try that one, terumah, contribution, also appears 7 times in this section of the Torah. Each had something distinctive to contribute. Some gave gold, others silver, others bronze. Some brought wool or animal skins, others gave precious stones, yet others gave their labor and their skills. The word terumah, you know, we get rum from that, to rise up, elevated, means elevated for an existing goal, to raise up high. So when I give, whatever I'm giving, when I give, I become more like God when I give. I'm elevated. I'm becoming more Messiah-like when I give. And I, in my opinion, there's 3 types of giving. There's guilt giving. I give because I feel obligated. And so we'll call that giving grudgingly. Then there's get giving. I give in order to get. Oh boy, I hate that. Hate sermons like that, don't you? Like, if you give this, God will do this. Oh no, that's not that, it shouldn't be. I give in order to get. I'll call that greedy giving. And then what the Jewish people participated in here when you read these chapters, it's so beautiful. I call this God giving. Inward motivation as a response to outward inspiration. I mean, it's outward because the Spirit of God works, comes upon them, but it's he's inwardly then motivating them. So God-giving. Aholiab and Bezalel are filled by God's Spirit, and they're assigned to teach and to lead those inspired to design and to build the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The tabernacle, this portable tabernacle. And so he says, let every wise-hearted man among you come and make everything, 35:10 of Exodus, and make everything that the Lord has commanded. Every wise-hearted man. Well, you know, these were slaves. Our people, our ancestors were slaves for, some say, 210 years, some say, you know, more than that. We were slaves. Where did we learn the skills of carpentry while being slaves? Metalwork, craftsmanship, contractorship, all these skills. Praise God for the skills that we do have. We all have different gifts and skills. Now, given supernatural technical know-how was what they were given. It was supernatural. Now, listen to this comment by a rabbi. Not a messianic rabbi, but a rabbi. Listen to this. He says, Bezalel builds a house that is unique from all other human-built houses. Scholars stress the superlative nature of the book of Exodus' description of him. Bezalel has the, quote, gift of originality, and he possesses, quote, all the requisite qualities of the wisdom, discernment, and knowledge. You know, chachma, binah, da'at, Hebrew words for wisdom, discernment, knowledge, in supernatural measure. There is indeed something supernatural about Bezalel. Well, of course. I mean, we look at that and we say, well, yes, why? Because God, these weren't natural abilities. Now, God uses our natural abilities, but when we turn them over to God, when we submit our hearts to God, our wills to God, our minds to God, God anoints and goes beyond our abilities. I saw the story of Sylvester Stallone, how he made his first Rocky movie, you know. I love the movie Rocky. I don't know about you. Of course, I did grow up in the suburb of Philadelphia, so he was living in the train station for a while, like sleeping in streets, and they offered him money but he just never gave up, you know. He didn't give up. Then they finally offered him, he had to sell his dog, it said in the story, because he had no money left. He didn't want to, and he cried when he left, had to sell his dog. When he made a lot of money, he found the guy and paid a ton of money to get his dog back. If the story is true, that's what the story says. But he wanted to be he wouldn't sell the script for a certain amount of money because he insisted on playing the role, the main role in the story of Rocky. So he wouldn't sell it. And finally, someone paid him a lot less and said, okay, you can play the role, and then the rest is history. But he just didn't give up. Just didn't give up, even though everything looked bleak, looked impossible. Whatever your gifts are, whatever your talents are, whatever your dream is, whatever your vision, you don't have to. God can anoint it. 40 items are mentioned in the tabernacle. 40 items. So much to build. So much to create. So many materials to gather together, and so many minds to mobilize and hands to engage. The craftspeople, the spinners. And let's look at 35 verses 10 through 19. Look at those verses here, verses 10 through 19. The Mishkan, the tabernacle here. Look at what happened here. It says, verse 10, let every wise-hearted man among you come and make everything that the Lord commanded, including the tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasps, its boards, its crossbars, pillars, bases, the ark, the poles, the atonement cover. Oftentimes we see that as mercy seat. I used to, you know, always call it that in my early ministry days, you know, because that's how I learned it, is the mercy seat. But it's actually a kaporet. It's where we get kapur from atonement. So it's really the covering of the atonement covers, really the right translation. And the curtain screen, the table, the shulchan, the table, its poles, etc. Then verse 14, the menorah with for light, order, with its utensils, the lamps, altar of incense, the anointing oil, and so on. All these items, the woven garments, verse 19, you go down, for the priesthood, for Aaron and his the Cohen, the priest, and his sons to minister. All of these items, amazing items, liberty in creativity of artistic detail and embellishment is seen in all of these things. So the New Covenant says that we, for just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are what? One body in Messiah. Let's say that. One body in Messiah. And everyone parts of one another. We have gifts that differ. Let's say that. Differ. Differ. According to the grace that was given to us. That's wonderful. 1 Corinthians 12, that's Romans 12, 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, for just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Messiah. One body, many parts, all unique. And that's the way God has made us. God loves his house. It says in Psalm 26, 8, Lord, Adonai, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. In Exodus 25, 8, he said, make, Hebrew word asa, let's say asa, asa, it's ayin, sin, and a hey. So asa means to make or to create. Make, God said, a sanctuary, a mikdash. Let's say the word mikdash. Make a mikdash. He says, make a mikdash for me that I may dwell among them. And the Hebrew word is v'shachanti b'tochem. Dwell among them. God said dwell among them, not it. Not it. Literally, live inside of them. Live inside of them. Shachan means to dwell, to abide, to live with others. The same word as mishkan, tabernacle, and the same root as shechna. Or sometimes you hear in the Christian circles, Shekinah, but it's Shekinah. The Talmud mentions, listen to this, the people themselves are the true tabernacle. The main place the divine presence would rest would be inside the Israelites, not in the wood and the metal of the tabernacle. So we are Messiah's body, the Kehillah, members of himself. We are God's house, God's temple, God's dwelling place. Now that is amazing. We invest in people. I think it was D.L. Moody. I don't know if he's the first one that said it, whoever, it doesn't matter. But I love the quote. It said, when I discovered that these two things were going to last forever, God's word and the souls of men, people. God's word and people, I decided to pour my life into those two things. What's going to last forever? God's words forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, 103, I think. God's words forever settled in heaven. It lives forever. My words will never pass away. God's word ever lives forever. And people, souls will live forever, either in heaven or apart from God in hell. One place or the other, either with God or apart from God. Souls, and so he says, I decided to pour my life in those two things, the word of God and people. We invest, we're talking right now about people. You and I, we love loving people, right? I love loving people. Yes, we get tired. Yes, we get burned sometimes, hurt sometimes. Yes, we get assaulted even sometimes. I had an incident this week where I teach pickleball where I got assaulted verbally, really, and almost physically by a guy. I did, you know, this guy just got really in my face, upset, and he's about at least a half foot bigger than me. It happens sometimes, right? And we bounce back, and we still love back, right? We sometimes get really hurt, though, and things happen. People, and God's word last forever. When you love people, you're loving God. You're loving what God loves, and that will last forever. So you can't lose. You're loving a person, someone, you see that person's going to live forever. You can't lose. What more important thing can be than that? You know, love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8, Paul says. It never ends, means ends. It doesn't end. It never fails, ultimately. People at the end of their lives, they know it. People come into the end of their lives and they start saying, I wish I had loved more. I wish I had not held grudges. I wish I had not held on to my not forgiven. I wish I had just not been so stubborn and been, it wasn't worth it. Now, 12 different words or phrases are used in these two chapters, Exodus 35 and 36, for motivation, energy, and the heart. 12 different phrases. Let me mention them. Willing, and they're all throughout here. They're the willing-hearted, 35:5, nidiv libo. It means voluntary, to associate freely, to donate. Wise-hearted, spirit-willing, their spirits were willing. The wise-hearted, the willing-hearted, the wise-hearted, the spirits willing. The hearts were stirred, it says. Willing spirit, 35:21. The heart compelled him, it would say, it says sometimes. Nidiv lev. The heart compelled him. The heart stirred, moved them. The hearts moved them. That means raised, nasa, that raised their hearts. The hearts were raised. The hearts made them willing. Hearts made them willing. Filled him with the Spirit of God is mentioned. Placed in his heart is mentioned, 35:34. Filled them with wisdom of heart is mentioned, 35:35. In whose minds or hearts, it's hearts, the Lord had set wisdom. The heart stirred him, 36:2. Heart mentioned 7 times in chapter 35 and 7 times in chapter 36. Now, the giving and the construction had to be from the heart. From the heart. The heart, again, say the word lev, all right? It's the central core. It's not the organ. It's the central core. It means my midst. It's my midst, central core. Richard Wurmbrand said this. I love this phrase, this quote. He said, as communist atheist, when he was in prison out of those 14 years and 3 of those years, 30 feet below ground, never saw the light of sun, heard a bird chirp, never heard. As communist atheists allowed no place for Jesus in their hearts, I decided I'd leave not the smallest place for Satan in mine. Everything, God wants my heart. God wants my heart. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart. Let's repeat that. My son, give me your heart. Let's do it one more time. My son, give me your heart. Let's say my daughter. My daughter, give me your heart. That's what the Lord says to you and to me. Give me your heart. That's what I'm really looking for. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. God says to me, I don't want your possessions and your talents. I don't want that outer stuff. I want your heart. I want your heart. If I have your heart, I have everything else. For I love this verse. Here's another favorite one of mine. I've shared it before. For I seek not, Paul says, Apostle Paul, I seek not yours, but you. For I seek not yours, but you. 2 Corinthians 12:14. Lord, take my heart. Take my heart. Not my edges, not my periphery, but my core, my center, my midst, Lord. Take my heart. My heart. My heart, Lord. Lev, levi, levi. My heart. Let each one give as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly, nor under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Exodus 35, 30 through 32. Let's look at this and then we'll finish. Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, Bezalel. His name means Bezalel, God uncovered, God revealed. He's called him, and even his name is revealing of God, the son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, our Messiah's tribe. Called by name. He called him by name. Called, kara, means summoned to a change in direction. When God calls you, when God calls you, when God calls you and calls me, he summons you, he summons me to a change in direction. And he calls me by name. He filled him, male, filled to abundance with the Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all manner of craftsmanship to make ingenious designs. If he calls me, he fills me to abundance. There's no lack of supply, no lack of resources to complete the task. The limit is only with me, with my disbelief, not with him. The prepositions, two prepositions repeatedly occur in this wording here. La and bi, lamed and a bet. By and through could be two. Everything, in other words, everything comes by and through God, his Spirit. Everything coming comes by and through the Spirit of God. Romans 5:5 says, "Hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts." In our hearts, our lev. Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Lord, take our hearts today that we can create through you, fulfill what you've called us to do. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. If you've never trusted Yeshua today, you've never invited him into given the reins of your life, even that control, the steering wheel to you, to him, do it now. Turn it over to him. He can steer a lot better than you can. He'll direct you on that right path that'll really satisfy you. You'll arrive at the right destination. You won't go off the road and into an accident. He'll give you eternal life, forgive you of your sins, wash you, make you new. Say, "Lord Yeshua, come into my life. Jesus, I'm trusting you, God. I want to know you. I want to know God. I want to know you." And if you're praying that prayer, if you're watching online, please contact us. We'll contact you back, help you in any way we can. If you're here today, please come and pray with someone after service. Someone will be up here to pray with you.
Start now, Lord, come, please.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.